Okay. Maybe we'll get this finished up tonight. We'll see. We've been doing a series on how we got our Bible. And of late, that series has turned to English versions. Now, if you'll remember, as we studied some time back, we talked about the Greek manuscripts from which our versions were translated, and we discovered that there were two families of manuscripts, the Alexandrian and the Byzantine or Western text type, and that versions were produced from both of those. Notable to us, the King James produced from a variant of the Byzantine Western type manuscripts, and almost all the others, with I think the only exception of the New King James, unless somebody can correct me, were produced from either an admixture of the Byzantine Western text type or the Alexandrian text type alone. And so I suppose the question arises in somebody's mind, how do we know that we have the Word of God? And with all of the stuff that we've talked about, is God really able to bring His Word to us? Now, all Orthodox confessions of faith that I'm aware of state that the Scriptures are inspired and inerrant in the original autographs. Our studies showed us that there are copyists' errors, as copies of those Greek manuscripts were produced and brought down through the ages, and it doesn't take a genius to see that, because we have approximately how many extant in our hands today? Yes, Greek manuscripts, or portions or fragments of Greek manuscripts. Over 5,000, no two of which agree exactly in every detail. So how do we know that we have the Word of God? Well, do we worship a God that is a little more imaginative than that? Do you think that God is able to preserve His Word? He said that He would, didn't He? So how do we know that He has done that? Well, let's look at a few issues tonight. Do we have our screen up? Oh, good. Is it just me, or does it seem like over the years that projector's getting dimmer and dimmer? It's green. I know, people objected to that, so I deliberately left it that way because I figure an irritant draws attention. Just kidding. Yes, that irritation should keep you awake. Okay, what is the significance of the versions debate? How important is it? Is it the all-encompassing issue that some would like us to believe? Would it be true that unless we had an original 1611 King James Version, or we had one of the five major revisions of it, we don't have the Word of God at all? Or could it be that Westcott and Hort were right when they said, well, the Alexandrian text type is obviously the best because we have the oldest copies of the manuscripts extant here, and so older is better, and so therefore a version translated from those manuscripts would be the Word of God and none else. And so if you don't have a American Standard Version or some other version, then you don't have the Word of God. This could easily turn into a very divisive thing, couldn't it? Maybe nobody has the Word of God. No, we have God's Word on that, don't we? Okay, the great question. Is it possible for God to communicate His message to us since we do not have a perfect manuscript or translation? We talked about both. If so, how so? Let's do some thinking. Are the fingerprints of God visible everywhere on His creation? Does the Bible back me up in saying that? So could somebody bring a scripture forth? Certainly the heavens declare the glory of God, and on it goes. their lines stretched out every night. The gospel is paraded before the entire earth. Sure, his fingerprints are everywhere in his creation. Do you think that the physical creation is pretty uniquely constructed? Sure. Can somebody tell me how? Give me a couple of examples, and all you have to do is think back to that little video that we saw before we started this series. Certainly, the bacterial flagellar motor that we looked at, there's a very narrow segment of the physical creation. Why, it's wonderful beyond description. Nanotechnology? I think God thought of it first. Fancy that! The human race trying to reinvent the wheel. Isn't it just like us? What else? DNA. What kind of a code is DNA? I hate to admit this being an analog sort. It's digital. It's a digital code. You mean Bill Gates didn't invent the computer? No, and Al Gore didn't invent the internet either. It's been around a lot longer than that. But anybody that uses computers is making a tacit admission that God beat us to the punch. The very DNA code that describes what we will be like as persons is a digital code. How about something else? By the way, does the scripture say that we are uniquely constructed and wonderfully made? Sure, the Bible backs us up on that point. Can somebody bring up something else? Sure, fingerprints. All different. Something else. How about just looking at the solar system? What would happen if the Earth were 5% closer to the sun in its orbit? You mean the prophecies of the global warming people might come true? I'm glad they're not like Archimedes, who said, give me a lever and a place to stand and I can move the earth. Well, they're trying to move the earth, aren't they? Only those with weak minds. What if it were 10% further from the sun? Would we be here? No, then that other branch of the sky is falling prophets would be proved true. We're entering another ice age. Sooner or later, they should make up their minds. There's evidence of the unique and special construction of the physical universe every place that you want to look. Have we sufficiently made the case? I don't think I need to waste any more of your time making that case. First bullet, like the physical creation, the Bible is uniquely constructed. Who is the author of the Bible? God Himself. Do you suppose He put any less loving care into its construction than He did the physical creation? Does the scripture say that the Bible is very special? What does it say about itself? Does not the scripture say that God's magnified His word above all His name? Would not that lead us to believe that there's something really special about the way that the Bible is constructed? It's put together in a way that would be really, really difficult for we mere humans to defeat. They say that they've mapped the human genome. There's a whole lot of difference between mapping the human genome and creating life. Come on, let's see it. Show us your stuff. Do you suppose that there's something to the Bible that makes it almost destruction resistant, nuclear proof? What do we know about the construction of the Bible? How many humans were involved in its production? Well, there's 66 books in it. I'll get to that in a minute. But how many different human beings did God use? 40 different ones. What kind of people were they? They were all doctors of philosophy. No? Huh? They were servants of God, but from what backgrounds did they come? Were they all cookie cutters out of Dallas Theological Seminary? Pensacola then. Surely Pensacola. No. Jack Hyle School of the Prophets? Hey, I'm just trying to keep it lightened up in here so you'll think. Oh, okay. Well, they know that we're observing a moment of levity. But the idea is to focus your thoughts on something. Is the Scripture uniquely constructed? Well, God used 40 different people. From what backgrounds did they come? Amos was a sheep herder. What was David? Sure. What was Daniel? A prince. Certainly, he was a prince. Can you see how these people were from all different walks of life? What about Nebuchadnezzar? Was he one of the 40? Yeah, he was. Guess what? He wrote one of the chapters in the book of Daniel. What was he? A heathen king? Before he got tired of eating grass. That's pretty unique. God took 40 different people from all sorts of different backgrounds, some unlearned and ignorant men, as Simon Peter, and some highly educated, as the Apostle Paul. Wow. Over how long a period was this book put together? You don't have to give me Archbishop Usher precision on this. Approximately. How much? No, not 4,000. About 1,600 years. Something like that. That's reasonably close. But 1,600 years is a long time. Did the guy that began the process have an intimate friendship with the one that ended it? Moses and the Apostle Paul were great buds, right? They conspired. I don't think so. Was there any form of a conspiracy between the 40 different authors? Really makes it hard when it's spaced over that many years. The Bible is uniquely constructed. Do you think it brings a historical perspective? Of course it does. Certainly. Second bullet, as the physical creation exhibits evidence of divine design, so does the Scripture. Now, you would expect that if the Bible was a human book, if you had 40 different people that lived at the same time, put in the same room, they couldn't keep their stories straight, could they? We know that that's true. And yet we have 40 different people from many different cultures living in entirely different ages that produce a book in which there is no, except imagined, contradictions. Is that not amazing? This book is wonderfully constructed. Now, if God went to all the trouble to put it together in that way, don't you suppose He designed in a few little features to keep people like Bob Ingersoll from tampering with it? Do you suppose He might have made it tamper-proof? Yeah, but of those 5,000 manuscripts, no two of them are the same. I wonder if God has a way of bypassing that seeming problem. Yeah, but there's two families of manuscripts and they don't agree with one another. I wonder if God has a way of transcending that supposed little problem. I imagine if he's God, he probably has a way. And I'll bet if we just think about it for a while, we might see that even we humans are smart enough to know more about how the Bible is the Word of God than we even realize ourselves. Next bullet. Spread spectrum radio communication. Now, I know that somebody's going to say, what? How does that have anything to do with the Bible? Well, just bear with me. I can tell you immediately that cellular telephone technology uses spread spectrum technology. And it's intimately connected with the Bible. Do you know how I know that? Because I hear them ring while I'm preaching. Drives me nuts. I'm just kidding about that. Please, if you have a cell phone, leave it in your car, then you won't forget to turn it off. Okay, what else does it have to do with the Bible? Just this. Spread spectrum is a way of communicating intelligence by using a certain technique with radio so that it's jam resistant and it's also encrypted. It was developed back in the 1950s for use by the military. Because we don't want the enemy listening in on our communications, and we don't want the enemy jamming our communications. So we needed a way to transmit intelligence from one point to another without having it either intercepted or jammed. We succeeded. Cell phones today jam every logical thought you can imagine. I was only kidding about that. What is spread spectrum? Well, basically what happens is, instead of occupying a very narrow slice of radio spectrum like your AM radio does anybody in here, this younger generation, even know what AM radio is? Oh, Josh knows what it is. Yes, it sounds tinny, doesn't it? Because it has a very restricted bandwidth. It's suitable for Rush Limbaugh. Narrow. Just kidding. But I do have your attention. Because it's narrow and focused in one place, it's very easily jammed. There's no problem with jamming AM radio communication. It's the easiest thing to do that you can imagine. And not only that, it's not encrypted. It's in the clear, unless you add some sort of a cipher device to it. Not only can the message be intercepted, but it can easily be jammed. Now, we'll get to something that you youngsters understand better. FM radio. I know, Pastor, that's passé. We're into XM now. Well, bear with me just for a moment. How many of you know that an FM radio broadcast sounds a whole lot better than an AM radio broadcast? Do you know why? There's no static. Do you know why there's no static? Because the information in that FM is spread out over a large band of frequencies. Noise impulses are very small and narrow. So they're like BBs rattling against the side of a boxcar. They don't jam it very well. An FM radio broadcast is also much more difficult for an enemy to jam because you have to have a signal that is considerably stronger than the parent signal before it can be jammed. And it has greater fidelity. However, it is still not encrypted. Not suitable for military use. So the military, boy, they get blamed for everything. But you know, you wouldn't have cell phones if it wasn't for the military. We wouldn't have a lot of technological wonders if it wasn't for the military and the space program. What's that going to teach us about the Bible? Bear with me. God made the Bible jam-proof, and he also encrypted it. And we as human beings are using the same technology, and we use it every day and never stop to think, wow, here's evidence of how God preserved his word right in our little hands, ringing and driving the preacher crazy. We got it right here. Well, what is spread spectrum? It's taking a step beyond FM radio where you take information and spread it over a really wide band of frequencies. Now the enemy would have to use a really effective machine gun approach to try to get some of it. And the neat thing about it is that each portion of this spread spectrum bandwidth contains identical information. You could jam half the signal and you can reproduce the entire signal from the half that gets through. As a matter of fact, you can jam 9/10 of the signal and still recover the original intelligence. How does that relate to the Bible? The Bible deniers didn't manage to take out every page, did they? Is the light starting to come on? How this works? Now listen, if mankind can figure out a way to keep his communications secure, don't you suppose that God, who is way, way ahead of us, might have his way of doing it too? So, we take all of the encoded information and we spread it out over a really broad spectrum of frequencies, some of which is always going to get through to the reception point. Despite the enemy's best efforts to jam it, and in addition to that, it's encrypted. Now that's kind of nice, because I'm sure that some people discuss things on cell phones that ought not to be discussed. Naughty, naughty. Do you realize that your cell phone is almost impossible to listen into if it's a new digital phone? The old analog phones were easy. You could monitor them on a police scanner. But do you realize that the link from your handset over to wherever the cell phone company has their little receiving device is practically bulletproof because your voice is broken up into small segments? They're called chipping codes, and they're applied to a radio carrier in a certain way and spread out over a broad spectrum so that even the government can't monitor it. Isn't that cute? The government finally made a rock so big they couldn't lift it. I like that. They can't monitor it. Now, they can still wiretap it because it's changed from digital format to analog format, and the FBI can still monitor your cell phone. So don't go out of here and say, the preacher told me I'm safe, I can do my drug deal. No, you better not. What I'm trying to point out here is that it's encrypted and it's jam-proof. Do you realize that the Bible is the same way? Can you show me in the Bible the chapter on baptism? I'm talking about all the meanings of baptism, not just dunking somebody in the water. You know, the Bible uses the word baptism in a couple of different ways, doesn't it? Can you show me the chapter in the scripture on the deity of Christ? Are you starting to get the idea? From Genesis to Revelation, the truth of the Bible is spread out. You'd have to get rid of the entire book to get rid of the truth that it contains. You could rip out every other page and still completely reconstruct Christian doctrine from it. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you realize how massive a scale that the jammers, the enemy jammers in this case, those that want to keep the word of God from us, Satan the devil, do you realize how effective a job he'd have to do at corrupting the manuscripts to stop us from reconstructing Christian doctrine from what's left? Can you see that? Now, if we can figure out how to make a cell phone, don't you suppose God can make his communication jam-proof? And not only that, he's encrypted it. You know the terrible part of an encrypted message? If any of you have ever worked with cryptographic schemes, you know that messages are sent in a redundant fashion. You don't just send it once. You send it a whole bunch of times. Encrypted. The person at the receiving end doesn't realize if he's decrypting Mary Had a Little Lamb or the real message, which was embedded in all the rest of the garbage that you sent, just to confuse him. How much of the Bible would you have to get rid of before you couldn't reconstruct Christian doctrine? That's almost beside the point when you figure out that how would you know which part to get rid of if you don't understand what it means? Does the natural man know the things of the Spirit? That's why you can pick up demonstrably the worst of the worst, the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation, and still find enough gospel in it to get the whole world saved. Because the people that tampered with it didn't understand what it meant. It's encrypted, spiritually encrypted. This book is a lot more resilient than you might think it is. Oh, God designed it, so it's really, really hardy. It can deliver its message to the heart of anyone that's willing to receive it. Now, don't go out and get yourself a New World Translation. Okay, last bullet. Holographic imaging. How many of you know what that is? Everybody wants a hologram. As a matter of fact, if you buy a genuine copy of Windows, Bill Gates will throw in a holographic serial number for free. Think of it. The problem is that it's not really a holographic image. All the things that you think are a holographic image, they aren't true holographic images. What does a holographic image have to do with the Bible? Just this. The imagination and ingenuity of man in producing holograms shows us that if God's smarter than we are, and He is, He has a way also of keeping His Bible jam-proof and tamper-proof. Well, holograms are a reality. They're a step up from half-a-grams. I'm just seeing if anybody's listening yet. Now, I hope this isn't too dry for you, but what I'm trying to do is show you something seriously here, that this Bible is just tamper-proof, and it doesn't matter if you have a King James or something else. Any reasonable attempt to translate the Word of God from the manuscripts available into English are going to communicate the message of God. That's what I'm trying to show you, that this whole business of the versions debate has been just overcooked a little bit. Is it important? Sure it is. We want to use the best that we can. But it isn't the prove-all and end-all. It isn't something to cause Christians to break fellowship with one another over. Holographic imaging, back to that. If you read the last bullet with me here, the message of the image is present everywhere in the image. Part of the image can be removed or defaced, but the image remains with a little loss of resolution. And it's only visible, a real hologram. This is why Bill Gates doesn't give you a real hologram, because you're looking at it in non-coherent light, like comes from light bulbs. A real hologram is only visible under coherent light, and it has to be coherent light of the same wavelength as the light that produced it. Now, why is that important? Holographic imaging is also known as lensless photography. And what they do is they take a laser, which produces what's called coherent light, only of one frequency or one color, and they'll split it into two beams, one to illuminate whatever you're going to take a picture of, and another to a mirror, which bounces back another beam that's out of phase with the first, and so you have an interference pattern between the two. Now, that's a whole lot of technical jargon just to say this. By the process that they're using, you can blot out 9/10 of the image and reconstruct the entire image from the 1/10 that is still there. Can you see how this is analogous to this spread spectrum radio stuff that I was talking about? Holograms are really interesting things, and if you ever get a chance to read up on them, you should. They're very interesting. But the point that I'm using here, or trying to make, is that if we as human beings have enough imagination and ingenuity to produce such a thing as that. And it works on the same principle that God used to protect His Word. Don't you suppose that God's done a better job of protecting His Word than we have in making holograms? I think so, too. I do want to mention, just in passing, that last thing that was said in the bullet there. Only visible under coherent light, and it has to be the same wavelength used to originally produce the image. So if you used a green laser to produce the image and try to look at it under red laser light, you won't see the hologram. What's the spiritual significance of that? What's the only way that a human being can actually understand the message of this book? Certainly, the power of the Holy Spirit, same wavelength as the one that produced the book. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit is our teacher and guide into the truth. And don't you suppose that the Holy Spirit is pretty much jam-proof? And the message is pretty well encrypted? Don't you suppose that the Holy Spirit is on the same wavelength as the book, since He authored the book? Does that make you feel a little bit better about your Bible? If a bunch of feeble-minded creatures like us can take what God made in the natural realm and use it to make holograms and cell phones, don't you suppose God is able to keep His message intact as well? I think it was someone said to Voltaire that he was the hammer that was going to destroy the Bible, and I think the comment was, well, the Bible is an anvil that's worn out many hammers. It's very resilient. You don't need to worry about whether or not we have the Word of God. Certainly, demonstrably, we do. God left His fingerprints all over everything. Anybody that understands how a cell phone works immediately starts to understand something about how He preserved His Word. Now, that's pretty mundane, isn't it? Does technology declare the glory of God? In a way, it does. Interesting. Do we have the Word of God? Jam-proof, but it's still encrypted. You got to be a Christian if you want to understand it. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank You tonight that You have just left evidences everywhere in the creation of Yourself, how You put things together, and Lord, especially how You put this book together and how You've preserved its meaning and how You're able to transcend copyist errors, mistakes in translation, all of the things that would plague somebody that wanted to have the absolute letter of the Word picture perfect as it came from the original autographs. Lord, we still have it picture perfect because You constructed it in such a way that even the meagerest attempts at translation still can be used by Your Holy Spirit to bring truth to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'd give us comfort concerning this matter. And Lord, I pray too that You would protect us from those that are out trying to draw disciples after themselves, trying to cause divisions over this issue. Lord, if they just preach Your Word instead of what they're doing, humanity would be so much better served. Lord, now bless us together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.